Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, my name is Hunter Crowther, my co-host Chris Shannon, our music, you know what, let's start the music, let's play it anyway and see if it works. There we go. That's it. That's it. Anyway, let's start it over. It's April 13th, 2015, episode 38 of the Hockey Guys podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, and my co-host, Chris Shannon. Chris, it's over. Regular season's over. Playoff time.
It's playoff time. I am pumped. What a time. Best time of the year. And I was a little unconventional this weekend, actually. I watched little Masters, and I really got into it, actually. I think I am starting to watch golf. I'll be starting to watch golf more often. I really got into the Masters this year.
Yeah, Spieth was just killing it. Honestly, right from day one, it looked like he was going to win the tournament, and he seems like golf's next answer for, at least America's answer for Tiger Woods. But I really enjoyed it. To be honest, I didn't even watch that much hockey over the weekend. I watched all the games on Saturday, but it really was a pretty cool sports week in the sense that the basketball playoffs are coming up as well. It was opening week for baseball. The NCAA basketball tournament ended. The NFL draft is coming up. It's a very exciting time for sports, but most importantly, the NHL playoffs are right around the corner, kicking off this Wednesday. For today's show, we're going to make some playoff predictions. Me and Chris are going to say who we think will come out on top in the first round of the playoffs. And then near the end of the show, we're going to recap a little bit the ongoings of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They fired interim coach Peter Horacek as well as Dave Nonis and seemed to essentially scorch the earth, as it was once reported by Cathal Kelly earlier this year in the Globe and Mail. They scorched the earth on their scouting staff, and they're starting completely fresh, which is interesting. About 2 months before the draft. But let's start with playoffs. And the first series we're going to talk about is the Montreal Canadiens facing the Ottawa Senators in the first round. The Canadiens were relatively consistent throughout the year in the sense that they were outshot nearly every game. But we're lucky enough to have Carey Price in the net. Price put up one of the best seasons in modern history for goaltenders and seems almost like a lock for the Hart Trophy. Meanwhile, in Ottawa, they had one heck of a last quarter of the season. The team put up wins at a number I can't even fathom. Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, as many have coined him, had an incredible season. 21-2 and a .941 save percentage in those games. This team got hot near the end as the Habs, they stayed, like I said, consistently near the top of the Atlantic Division. Chris, you follow the Habs. What do you think about your Habs going up against the Sens in the first round?
I think it'll be one hell of a series. I mean, they played 2 years ago, and it was one of my favorite series I've watched, even though Montreal fell short of a playoff victory. You know, it really surprised me because Ottawa is really kind of seeming like a favorite in the series, and analytics show they are. But there was a good quote today by Mark Bergevin, Montreal Canadiens general manager, and he was asked about how every analyst and all the bloggers are talking about how Montreal is lucky to be in this position. They shouldn't be doing this well. The analytics show them that they're not. They're not this good. And he responded by, "I watch my team play every day. I don't need numbers to tell me how to play, how they are playing." And it kind of is just showing that that's exactly what it should be told around the NHL. The Montreal Canadiens have an organization that is fathomed around the world. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs wish they could be the Montreal Canadiens. Anyway, it's just one of the best organizations in the NHL, and they're different. And that's where I think it goes wrong, that the bloggers and media availability and just Montreal's different, unique market. And I find it doesn't get the hope. I mean, it doesn't get the appreciation outside of Montreal. So I do have Montreal getting on top of the Ottawa Senators. I think you have Carey Price, the best goaltender in the decade, one of the best goaltenders maybe to ever play. Still a little early, we'll see. Hamburglar, great story, Let's see if he can keep it up. And if he can, I still don't see him matching Carey Price. PK Subban versus Erik Karlsson. What, like, it's two of the best defensemen out there. I think Montreal will come up on the edge of this, but I think it'll be a very close series and it'll be done in six.
I think the problem with this series is that as much as, like we've said, Carey Price can single-handedly carry this team, and which is more fitting that his name's Carey. And I think that the Habs are a prime example of a team that can outplay the math. And while, like we've said, the analytics say that the Habs are a team that's eventually it's going to catch up to them, which I still think it will. As much as I like the Habs, I don't think they'll go on a deep run. But when you have Carey Price in net, you can literally win every single game. And the great thing about the playoffs is you only have to win 16 games. It's a big number relatively, but you only got to win 16. And I'm not going to put it past Carey Price to end up doing that. But let's give the Ottawa Senators some credit here. I mean, we go through that roster. They played some tremendous hockey near the end. Mark Stone, who at 22 had one of the best seasons that I can remember an Ottawa Senator forward playing. He had 26 goals and 64 points. He really turned it up in the second half of the season. I read a tweet somewhere, and I'm kind of semi-quoting it, but it said that when it came to five-on-five, the only players in the league who were better than Mark Stone were like John Tavares, Alexander Ovechkin, and another top-tier talent that his name escapes me right now. They played some hot hockey right now. And as much as Carey Price is obviously the elite goaltender we give him credit for, you know what? I'm going to give the Sens a little bit of credit. I think that they're going to give him a little bit of a run, but I still got the Habs in six. The next series we're going to talk about is Tampa Bay and Detroit. Now, we haven't talked a ton about the Lightning or the Red Wings on the show, and to be perfectly honest, I don't have a ton of faith in these Detroit Red Wings. They were struggling a little bit in the last quarter of the season, and to be honest, I think this is a team that has some injuries. They've dealt with some adversity. There's a lot of things that are good about them, but I still don't know about Jimmy Howard and net. And when I look at Tampa, I mean, I'm a lot more confident in that lineup. You know, Ryan Callahan has had a very underrated season. For what a lot of people were saying, the Rangers got the better player in the deal. You know, Callahan put up over 50 points. Antoine Stralman is one of the most underrated defensemen in the NHL, led the Lightning in shot attempts percentage at 56.3. That's incredible. And that blue line of Stralman, Hedman, Carl, Garrison, Lightning are good. And I've got the Lightning in five. What about you?
That's very weird. I have the Lightning in five as well. I mean, Jimmy Howard hasn't been the all-star that he was a couple years ago. It's Peter Mrazek confirmed to start for game one. The Detroit Red Wings haven't given anyone a hope for beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's going to be one hell of a fast-paced series. I mean, these two teams will push the limit. The only chance I think Detroit has is if Peter Mrazek or Jimmy Howard play lights out and Zetterberg and Datsyuk play vintage Zetterberg and Datsyuk, and they have to take the series under their arms and they have to carry this team. I think Tampa is going to be easily defeating the Detroit Red Wings. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very fast-paced series and one to watch for sure.
Push it to the limit. All right, sorry, folks. And yeah, like you said, I don't have a lot of faith in Detroit. And I think the big thing with Detroit, too, I think everyone's just waiting for them to get eliminated from the playoffs so we can start speculating about my Babcock, which we'll probably be doing in about 15 minutes anyway. The next series.
Wait, he's going to Toronto, right?
Well, obviously he's going to Toronto. Why else would I bring it up? Come on, Chris. Better than that.
Sorry.
The next series is Rangers-Penguins. Now, I've got the Rangers in five, which might seem like a little bit of a reach to some people, but I look at this Pittsburgh Penguins team and all the, not controversy, but all the attention they've been getting lately about how they essentially squeaked into the playoffs. It took their last game of the season being against statistically one of the worst teams in the history of the National Hockey League. They had to play them and beat them to get into the postseason. So they've really limped in, and now they face a Rangers squad, which we've glossed about over the course of the year. They've got a stacked blue line. Keith Yandle seems to be finding his own. and Rick Nash is having one of his top seasons. The only thing I'll say about the Rangers is some people are saying if Rick Nash struggles again in these playoffs, that if he can't put up goals, then it's going to hurt the Rangers. But honestly, their depth is so much further than that. Brassard, Stepan, Zuccarello, Kreider. This really is one of the more stacked teams in the Eastern Conference. And not to mention, when you look at Pittsburgh, Chris Letang is hurt. The team has a lot of injuries. And it's the same questions that face them every year. Can Malkin and Crosby step up in the playoffs? Can Marc-Andre Fleury step up in the postseason? And it's the same boring narratives, but honestly, Pittsburgh doesn't do themselves any favors. I mean, at some point, there's stereotypes for a reason. So if we continuously rip on Pittsburgh's goaltending and lack of clutch, despite the fact they did win a Stanley Cup 6 years ago, you know, the narratives are going to keep bugging them. So unless the Penguins can figure that out, it's going to be another first-round exit this year.
Agree. I mean, you guys saw my rage with the Pittsburgh Penguins last episode. Chris Letang, if they had him, maybe they'd pull the Rangers to game seven, game six. But I totally agree. They don't have the defense. They have five defensemen. They're so struck with this cap salary that they can't even call up a defenseman. They have five defensemen. They're not going far against the Rangers, and the New York Rangers are probably one of the best teams in the NHL. I don't think they'll have any trouble against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Without a doubt. And you looked at, and like we watched the Pens' last few games, let alone a playoff team, even if they made the playoffs, which they did, I was watching them and thought they wouldn't be a team that would survive for long. But we'll see. We'll see. And the last series out of the Eastern Conference, I'm really excited for this one. The Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders, these are two teams that I think were nearly everyone around the league's second favorite team at some point during the year. Ovechkin had an incredible season. 54 goals. I mean, you put up those numbers, he's truly unbelievable. The additions of Niskanen and Orpik, we said, have really strengthened their blue line. Holpe is he's in the upper echelon in terms of goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Meanwhile, in the Islanders, they struggled a little bit towards the end of the season. But John Tavares, if Carey Price wasn't having the season that he was having, John Tavares should really be considered for the Hart Trophy. That guy has over 80 points, and the guy who's next behind him, who I believe is I won't even say the player's name because I'm not 100%. But the next players have at them are 50 points and 40 points. I mean, John Tavares is an incredible player. And you look at that blue line, too. Hamonic, who still is underrated, one of the best contracts in the league. The thing about the Islanders, though, I'll say this and then I'll let you take it. I'm still sketched out about Yaroslav Halak, who put up some relatively good numbers this year, but I think the problem for him is timely goals. He lets in a lot of third-period goals. He lets in a lot of goals right off the beginning of the period, and it seems to sort of leave a negative taste in the Islanders' mouth. And that's the one question mark I have about them going into this series, but I have the Caps in seven. What about you?
Well, I mean, Yaroslav Halak, I'm a Montreal Canadian. We know about Yaroslav Halak in 2010. He brought this team to a place where no one thought they could go. That's not my issue with the Islanders. Yaroslav Halak comes in clutch at the right moments. I think he's the number one goalie for sure, but I think 82 games is too much for him. And the 60 games, the amount he plays, I think he needs a good backup behind him. So I think that's where he struggles. But I do have the Washington Capitals coming on top. Now, this series is probably one of the most close series out there. I got them in game seven, which really kind of just reassures that I have no idea who's going to win this series. Washington has great scoring depth, and the Islanders have great defensive depth. Two goalies that have been pretty good this season, but they also have some huge question marks. Braden Holtby's been one of the best goaltenders, but we'll see what he can do. Alex Ovechkin, let's hope he can keep this goal-scoring streak up. I mean, he's the all-time goal scorer that we'll ever watch in the next years to come. And, yeah, I do have Washington getting on top of the New York Islanders, but I think this, like you said, this will be one of the best series out there because it is going to be so close and there's not one clear favorite.
The player I was thinking of was Kyle Okposo, who was second on the team. Listen to this. Tavares had 86 points. Okposo had 51. So it really shows the just the sheer head and above everybody else in Johnny T. I feel for the guy. I hope the Islanders do pull through as much as I have the Caps winning this series. Let's look at the West. And the first series we'll talk about is Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues. Now, I've actually gone against the grain and taken the Wild for this one. And it's weird because the St. Louis Blues are that team that every single year in the playoffs, I always had them going deep, whether it was the conference finals, the Stanley Cup finals, winning the cup, whatever. And they always burned me. They always were first round, second round elimination. The big problem was they had to face the Blackhawks or the Kings or an upper tier team that usually went on to win the Stanley Cup. But this year they faced the Minnesota Wild. And while usually I would pick the Blues in this scenario, Minnesota, when I watch that team, Devan Dubnyk has been one of the best stories of the year in the NHL. After they thought his career was over in Edmonton, he posted some relatively good numbers in Phoenix, and then or in Arizona. I can't stop doing that. And then Arizona dealt him, and so far though he's been hot. I mean, you look at his numbers: 27-9-2 with a .936 save percentage. Those are incredible numbers. And when I look at the Blues too, I mean, you got to ask. I know they're healthy. You got to see how they'll do in the postseason. There's still some questions in net between either Jake Allen or Brian Elliott. I'm not sure who's going to get it, and I'm not sure even Ken Hitchcock knows. One thing to look out too: if they get eliminated again early on, look at Ken Hitchcock's job possibly being on the line. He's been there for a while, and he's maintained some very good regular season results, but that team still hasn't made it past the second round. Like I said, I got the Wild in six. What about you?
I have St. Louis. I think St. Louis, this is their year to prove something, and until they meet Chicago in the second round. But, yeah, I think St. Louis can easily overpower Minnesota. Devan Dubnyk's played too many games. I don't know if he can keep this up. He's got to have one of these games that he's going to fall apart. He's running a miracle run here. I mean, he brought this team. I think this is a bigger story than Hammond, and it's the reason it isn't getting enough attention is because it's been happening since the middle of the Hammond happened in this miracle short-term run. I think Minnesota, they're a good team, but they're not good enough. St. Louis, this is their year to prove something. They are desperate. They all know we are in trouble if we can't go past the first round. Tarasenko has brought this team to another level with another scoring threat. I have St. Louis in five, and I wouldn't be surprised of a sweep if we see a sweep with this series.
Interesting, a sweep. I will say Tarasenko was one of the most exciting players to watch this year. Like, he really is incredible.
Especially in the beginning.
And
especially in the beginning, he was on fire.
Indeed. O-N-T. But, yeah, I got Minnesota. And I don't know how that's going to play out, though. I hope the Blues eventually figure it out. Because I do like watching them. I like David Backes. I like Jay Bouwmeester. But we'll see. The next series we'll talk about is Nashville and Chicago. Now, I made my picks before some news that has actually been released about within the last hour. I have Nashville in seven, but recent news indicates that Patrick Kane should be ready to go for game one against Nashville. But I'm just going to stick with my pick. I really like what Nashville's done this year. Peter Laviolette's done an incredible job with this unit. Not to mention Pekka is still one of the top goalies in the league, and they've been able to ride on him. The blue line for Nashville has been what's really impressed me, with Roman Josi, Shea Weber. Ryan Ellis has evolved into a legitimate NHLer. Seth Jones, who fell in the draft, which is crazy to think in hindsight. Overall, I like this Preds group. And as much as the Blackhawks have seemed to be the stable of the NHL, I feel good about Nashville right now. Their possession numbers are ridiculous. The addition of James Neal was a huge contribution to their success. You look at the lineup in general. I really like the Preds, but as much as I say that, though, the Hawks are always that tough team. What do you think, Chris?
We have totally opposite opinions. I have Chicago in five. To be honest,
Chicago
yeah.
in five.
Yes, I know. Nashville, great team, great defense, but there is a huge question mark, and it's not like it's a little question mark that can be fixed. It's their scoring. Mike Ribeiro is their number one center. All respect to Mike Ribeiro. He's a great player, and he's had glimpse of
he's not a number one center, that's for sure.
No, he's not. And you're going to put him against one of the best shutdown two-way defensive offensive, Jonathan Toews, one of the best players out there. You're going to put him against him? I just cannot see some scoring, and Chicago's a scoring machine. A lot of people are taking Nashville, which is really surprising me. And you know, Hunter, I would put a lot of money on this, that Chicago will beat them in five, and it won't even be close, because Nashville won't be able to score because they don't have the offensive weapons. And yes, Nashville has one of the best defensive groups out there, but I want to hear about a defensive or about a team that can stop Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp, Duncan Keith. This list doesn't stop. They have such great depth. I think Chicago, this is their year that they're going to go far. Corey Crawford doesn't get enough respect. One of my favorite goalies, because for that reason, he doesn't get enough respect. Chicago will win in five, and Nashville, I just don't see them going far with Mike Ribeiro as their number one center.
Preds are going to win because they have Pekka Rinne, and Chicago has Corey Crawford. I'm sorry, I know you love Crawford. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's almost become so overrated in some people's eyes that now he's underrated in other people's eyes. But the reality is that he was one of the main reasons why Chicago lost L.A. last year. He couldn't stop a beach ball. And unless he stands on his head for this series, a lot of people are going to be shocked, and it's going to be the Preds that will be on top. The next series is Anaheim and Winnipeg, and I was really excited to see if this series would play out. I was hoping that Winnipeg would get in that wild card, because now you've got two of the most physical teams in the National Hockey League in both Anaheim and Winnipeg. That's going to be a heavy series. And I tweeted this out earlier in the year. Winnipeg's the perfect first-round team, because they're just gonna lay the body on you, play physical hockey, finish every hit. You're going to hate them. We said it even on I think it was two or three shows ago. If Anaheim and Winnipeg ended up playing each other in the playoffs, I don't think any Winnipeg fans would love anything more than Ryan Kesler and Corey Perry being in their barn, and they can just scream at him for 60 minutes. This is going to be an incredible series, and I still have the Ducks to beat the Jets, but I have it going to seven. I think it's going to be a grueling series. Chris, your thoughts?
This is going to be the best series of the 2014-2015 Stanley Cup playoffs. Like you said, it is going to be the most physical, hard-hitting series out there. These teams are built so well that it'll just be bang and score hockey. So, series, I'm more into the series than Montreal-Ottawa, which, I mean, I'm just saying that now because it hasn't started. But it's going to be, I'm so excited for that series. But I have Winnipeg going past the Anaheim Ducks in six games because the Anaheim Ducks scare me in goal. They have taken confidence out of John Gibson and Anderson. And I don't. These are two young guys. You changed the system up there. You know, Anderson was on a great run. Anderson gets injured. You put Gibson in there, and now we don't even know who's the number one goalie. I mean, it's a two-headed monster here. And I think Winnipeg has the depth, the defense, and the offense to demolish the Anaheim Ducks. And not really demolish, but I see them winning in six games.
And I'd agree with a lot of those points. There's a lot of question marks surrounding Anaheim, like in St. Louis. I mean, both Anderson and Gibson, they've had flashes where they look like starting goaltenders, but, you know, how much confidence do you really have in both of them in a seven-game series? And even if they do get past Winnipeg like I have them doing, what are they going to do afterwards? Do you think that they can – I don't know how the Ducks are going to do in a seven-game series against someone like a Nashville or a Chicago or even like the Blues or Wild. But we'll see. I do like the Jets. I'm glad that they were able to get into the playoffs, and I think this is going to be a hell of a series. And the last series that we're going to talk about on the Hockey Guys podcast with Hunter Crowther and Chris Shannon is Vancouver and Calgary. And these are two teams that, to be honest, I had nowhere near the playoffs at the beginning of the year. They've both surprised me, happily surprised, to be honest. We can talk back and forth about the series all we want. I think not having Giordano, like I've said with the Flames, it's going to end up hurting them at some point. And, you know, we bring up the math, like the Habs were saying earlier, how they watch their team play. They don't need math to tell them, which is fine. I mean, of course, you play the game. You don't play it on a spreadsheet. But the math never lies. And it always catches up. And every single year, as much as I as much as I tried to fight it early in my hockey viewing, the PDO is always right, and the Corsi's always right, and at some point it's going to catch up to the Calgary Flames. And I have Vancouver winning this series in six. I think the Canucks are going to do a good job against the Flames. You know, the big question is Ryan Miller's health. How is he going to do? How would Eddie Lack stand in? But I think this is going to be an exciting series, too. It's exciting to have two series in these playoffs where Canadian teams are facing each other, especially after last season where I believe it was only the Habs that made the playoffs. But, Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really a toss-up of the series, but I have Calgary. I just hope they can keep this run going, and they're one of my favorite teams this year, so I really do hope Calgary can do it. I'm going to keep it up short because I know you want to talk about your Toronto Maple Leafs and how have they just blanked up their team even more, or is Ryan, or is Shanahan actually bringing this team to a rebuild? We'll see.
We'll see. Oh, what was your pick for the Flames Canucks series? What's your final pick?
Oh, I had Flames. Sorry.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got Canucks in six. Now let's move to what's really important and what I was fighting Chris before the show that we should have started the show with, but whatever, is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They fired interim coach Peter Horacek, fired general manager Dave Nonis, and let go of essentially their entire scouting staff. Right now, Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas will be the interim general managers as the team searches for new management and new coaching. I'm going to keep this short and simple. This should have been done a very long time ago. This should have been done when Brian Burke arrived on the scene, because I'm more than confident that Burke could have had the permission of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Board, as well as the fan base, to properly rebuild. And it started with a trade where he acquired a guy named Phil Kessel, who, by all accounts, even before this season where he showed some struggling, Kessel was a consistent 30-goal-plus scorer. But they gave up two first-round picks, and it wasn't even so much that I still think they won that trade in the end. The Bruins ended up dealing away Sagan, and Dougie Hamilton's now evolved into a top-four defenseman, but that trade seemed to really be the symbol of everything that was wrong with that team during the Burke era and how they weren't patient enough. And I think the key thing for Shanahan at the press conference today and in the moves that he's made in the past few days is that he wants everyone to know is that this is going to be a process. And it's going to take time, and more moves are going to be on the way. And while this season was a waste, this was a waste of a season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They could have easily fired Randy Carlyle last summer, and then you could have really seen what this group was. But instead, you kind of ticky-tack the first half. You have Canham halfway through. You kind of leave Horacek as that deer in the headlights. And he was stuck with one of the worst second halves that I can't even fathom as a sports fan. I mean, the second half of the Toronto Maple Leafs season was an utter train wreck. And that's all I have to say about it. I'm happy with the moves that they made. I still think there's a lot that they need to do. I still think that there's a lot of players that they need to move. If you're really going to go with a rebuild, I'd still hold on to Kessel for this summer, depending on what happens to draft. And you know what? My last thought on this, I know Dion Phaneuf's going to get dealt somewhere. His captaincy's always been in question with fans, but to be honest, I think Dion was a heck of a captain while he was here. And I hope he goes somewhere and gets top 4 minutes and plays on a second pair and plays power play time and thrives in the role that he's always should have been in. Sorry, I went on a little rant there, but that's all I got to say about the league.
There's so much to talk about. I wish we had another hour, but we don't, you know. It's going to be one hell of a series, and well, our next show will be Thursday, and either I'll be jumping for joy because my Montreal Canadiens beat the Ottawa Senators, or I will be going crazy because the Hamburglar just defeated me.
He's a
Everyone.
Burglar. That's the joke. Get it?
Yeah.
His name is Hammond, and it's like a hamburger.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, it's a good
play
one.
On
good
words.
One,
it's a play on words, this. Chris.
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you this. The Ottawa Senators Twitter, I have never gotten work. I mean, like, I'm getting attacked on, and I don't even have that many followers on Twitter. And I'm not a huge guy, but like with Twitter, but they attack every Habs fan. I am ready. I am coming strong on Twitter. Montreal Canadiens fans on Twitter are coming after you, Ottawa. We're gonna win this.
Follow
series.
Chris on Twitter, ChrisShannon16. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. Go to thehockeyguys.net for more content. We'll have a new show this Thursday. happy playoffs, folks, and oh my God, it's the dump. It's the dump.